Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Olympic Games start a month from today with the opening ceremonies at the new stadium in London. So the process of choosing the members of the American team is in full swing at the track and field trials in Eugene, Oregon, and at the swimming trials in Omaha, Nebraska. On Monday night, Ryan Lochte won his first showdown with Michael Phelps in the 400-meter individual medley race.
So all the pieces beginning to come together for Lochte, who trained as hard as he ever has in his career. He's going to win the 400 IM trials over Phelps. They go 1-2, and there are your first two Olympians of 2012.
Tonight, Lochte and Phelps meet again in the 200-meter freestyle final. In last night's semifinal, Lochte edged Phelps by just 0.02 of a second. At the track and field trials in Oregon, there was no separation at all between Allison Felix and Janeba Tarmo in the women's 100-meter final last Saturday. Here's how it sounded on NBC.
Here's the end. Look on the right side in lane one. There's Tarmo and Felix, who gets the third spot?
Whoa.
Wow.
It's the torso that counts, of course.
And it hasn't come up on the computer yet, so clearly they are looking at that photo.
And they are still looking at that photo because there's literally no way to separate the two runners. Dead heat. So the third and final place on the 100-meter Olympic team is still in question. Ambie Burfoot is editor-at-large with Runner's World, and he joins us from Eugene. Ambie, let's start with that 100-meter final. You've been around track and field for a long time. Have you ever seen a situation like this?
Never seen anything like that. I don't think anyone has. It's the stakes, the Olympic berth, that is so crucial. If the two runners had tied for first, no problem. They both go to London. They tie for second, no problem. They both go to London. Tie for third, somebody doesn't go to London. But right. Who that is has not been decided yet.
So what are the options? I mean, what are they talking about, you know, ways to settle this?
Well, the options were clearly drawn up by a group of, Olympic Committee lawyers, because they're too complicated almost to go through. We might toss a coin. We might have them run against each other. We might have them have a Socratic debate and see who should step aside. We don't know the answer yet. We just know that one of them cannot run in London. I'm personally hoping that they will choose the runoff option, that the two of them will have a match race on national TV on Sunday, because I think that would be pretty exciting.
Right. You're a runner. You won the 1968 Boston Marathon. What would you do?
Oh, definitely. The athletes, I think, want to have a runoff. I think the fans want to have a runoff. After all, this is supposed to be a sport where things are not decided in smoky political back rooms. They're supposed to be decided in the clear day of a track race. So I hope they will do it that way, but I'm not sure they will. We will simply have to wait until Sunday.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this process. We will talk about some of the other trials, but this whole process of finishing in the top three to make the Olympic team. Do other countries select their Olympic teams like this?
The vast majority of countries actually do not. We in America assume this is the universal way, but the truth is that most countries send far fewer athletes to the games, and they don't even send anyone unless they think the person is so outstanding that they have a medal chance. So those teams are selected in back rooms, smoky and political sometimes, but hopefully picking the country's best. In the U.S., we have the wherewithal to send a full team to the Olympics, and so we do it in a track meet, and three go, and everybody else goes home with a tear in their eyes.
That puts an awful lot of pressure on the athletes, and I can't even imagine what kind of pressure there would be if there is a runoff on Sunday. Is that the most fair way of deciding, who's going to the Olympics?
The vast majority of us think that it is the fairest system. Sometimes something can happen. This was just one of the cases. Something else that could happen is someone who's the American record holder, the best in the world, the Olympic gold medalist, could just trip on the day of the track trials, and that person would lose their ticket to the Olympics. And that would seem unfortunate. It would mean that we would lose one of our best athletes. But the system here is you show up at the trials, you run, you jump, you throw, you finish in the top three, or you don't. And the only thing that happened in the women's 100 is we don't know who finished third.
Well, that brings us, of course, to the decathlon. Defending Olympic champion Brian Clay fell in the hurdles, and he didn't make the team. But Ashton Eaton won the competition and set a world record. Let's talk a little bit about his performance. Can you put that in perspective for us?
Yes, of course. His performance was just galvanizing. He was exciting every event almost. He was participating in a pouring rain much of the time for 2 days. But in the end, he brought the world record back to the U.S., where we haven't had it since Dan O'Brien. And he's on the way to the Olympics and probably the Olympic favorite. And it was a huge success, a huge crowd pleaser, and he will be a big attraction in London.
To break the world record, he had to run a personal best in the last event of the decathlon, the 1,500 meters. And here he is talking about the end of that race. Let's listen.
With 600 meters to go, I became a firm believer, not that there was much doubt before, but a firm believer that the Hayward magic does exist, because I felt it for 600 meters, big time. And especially with the 400 to go, I knew I was 2 seconds off. And I knew that there was no way I was not going to get the world record.
Ambie, what's he talking about there? What's the Hayward magic?
Well, of course, the track trials are taking place in Eugene, Oregon, which is known as Tracktown USA, because Hayward Field is the magical track and field stadium here. It has been this way since the days of Bill Bowerman, who was a great track coach here and a co-creator of Nike, a man who wrote a book about jogging in the 1960s before everybody else was even thinking about it. And Hayward just has the most knowledgeable fan. Ashton Eaton is a University of Oregon graduate, so he had plenty of old fans in the stands. And everybody knew that he had already won the event. The question was, could he get the world record? And, of course, every one of the 20,000 fans was on their feet cheering for him to go for that world record and break it. And so he did have a lot of magic, and it did help him.
Today is a rest day at the trials. Competition will pick up again over the weekend. What are you looking forward to?
I think over the weekend I'm looking forward to getting the women's 200 behind us so we can perhaps have a women's 100 runoff, as we've been talking about. I think there's going to be a great competition in the men's 5,000, where the 10,000-meter winner Galen Rupp will come back and run against some very strong competition, Bernard Lagat and Lopez Lemong. And there's an interesting little romantic interest in the women's steeplechase. If Sarah Hall could make the steeplechase team, then she would join her husband Ryan Hall, who's already on the marathon team, and they would get to walk into the opening ceremonies in London hand in hand, which is their dream.
Ambie Burfoot is editor-at-large at Runner's World. He's been speaking with us from Eugene, Oregon, the location of the U.S. Olympic track and field trials. Ambie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
By the way, there are links to more coverage of the Olympic track and field trials at hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Deborah Becker. Please join us again, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.